Hi there. I've been up to a weird kind of baking recently, and in another unexpected turn, this is going to be the last episode for now. I'll tell you about all that in a moment. This is Zach Martinucci, and you're listening to Against the Grain. So I've been baking at home again. I say that like I've started a new routine, no promises there, but I did bake 3 times at home last week, and any home baking comes as a surprise since I really haven't been motivated to do so since opening the bakery. What do they make? No bread, nothing fermented, just quick sweets, cookies and brownies. I know. This is a surprise because, of course, well, I don't bake those things, and working at a bakery, I'm surrounded by pastries and don't get excited by them at home. Well, not our pastries. I do get excited by everything else that I don't make at work. And usually home baking seems inefficient to me. You know, once you've been in production, like, why would I make just a single dozen of something when I know what's possible with a giant mixer? But that's not the point of home baking. I also have this rule that I won't eat wheat-based products at home. Now, it's not a gluten-free house, and I'm definitely not gluten-free. In fact, I eat a lot of bread throughout the day at the bakery. That's why I have this rule, so I don't eat all this extra unnecessary bread or pasta, really, at home. I'll eat rice, quinoa, things made with garbanzo bean flour, sometimes sourdough because I'm cool with fermented things, and definitely hand-rolled pasta on occasion, mainly because I love Michael Pollan's advice that you'd be healthy eating anything you want as long as you make it by hand. And you find that you don't make complex, decadent things that often when you have to make them by hand. But in light of all this, I do have a sweet tooth, so per my rule, I stock my pantry with dark chocolate bars for snacking. Recently, though, I wanted something more interesting, and have been really intrigued by the Ambitious Kitchen food blog a friend showed me on Instagram. I'm always in search of a 75% healthy eating blog. Like, I don't mind there being a little gluten or an egg in something. And it doesn't need to be entirely paleo or vegan for me, but that's how a lot of the recipes on the internet are. Those recipes are perfect for a lot of people, but I just want things inspired by those ways of eating. There can be an egg in my cookie dough. In general, too, I prefer to make a tasty, naturally gluten-free something rather than substitute all the ingredients to make it that way, like making a delicious cornmeal cookie or almond flour cake rather than using all these roots and gums and starches to rebuild a traditional flour-based recipe or create a healthy alternative version, that was in air quotes, that just isn't as good. I'm not sure I believe in Froyo for that same reason. I'd rather just eat less ice cream. So, when someone as particular and overly thoughtful as myself seeks out this miracle dessert, I find the bean cookie. Rather, the entire category of baking that I can't take credit for. It swept the internet a few years ago, and I'm late to the party. This category of baking that adds or substitutes a can of pureed beans for the flour and sometimes egg components in a recipe. This week, I made black bean brownies, which I hear are the classic, which were a little dry, but passable. Peanut butter chickpea blondies, which were fudgy and delicious, and I'm making them for the 3rd time this week. And cannellini bean cinnamon oatmeal cookies, which I thought were delicious and cakey, but everyone else called them spongy, not in a good way. Now, my friends and fellow bakers were a little concerned about this phase I seem to be starting. Honestly, though, something most people don't know about me is that I started cooking this way. Not with beans, but as a project cook. Whatever you'd call the type of cook that takes on unique recipes on their own, not as part of a meal, usually with some special single-use kitchen tool or ingredient that you get to use. I started cooking over middle school summer breaks, watching the Cooking Channel. It had just separated from the Food Network when that was becoming mainly travel shows, and this new channel was dedicated to chefs and their recipes. And I loved to play along, never recreating full meals, rather just individual ideas. A style of cooking I'd come to call things you didn't realize you could make at home. Like marshmallows. They're a mess, but I loved making marshmallows because people don't realize you can make them yourself, or even know how they're made to begin with. And it's kind of a learning science experiment in sugar temperature and air incorporation and gelatin. And there's sushi. Less mysterious, just intimidating, but not when sushi is an afternoon project and an excuse to learn a new skill rather than just to get dinner on the table. The family favorite was ravioli with a whole egg yolk in the middle. We loved some of these elaborate dishes. But my family rarely let me cook dinner because I was terrible at timing things so that they'd come out together, or that they'd come out in time for dinner at all, and I'd make a big mess. It wasn't until years later, after I started working as a personal chef, that my family trusted me to make a full meal, all at the same time, and to clean up. Something about those bean cookies felt the same way. I'm not trying to sneak more beans into my diet. I don't mind beans. I liked that it felt like a project that happened to be edible, that had this magical quality for letting me see something I thought I knew all about done in a whole new way, that they challenged what I thought beans and cookies could be, that they were just different enough to be familiar and novel at the same time. We're not going to carry them anytime soon, but I think bean cookies are surprisingly on brand for Rebel Bread. Anyway, in what's been a month of Fridays, bean cookies are what happened when I get an hour of free time. And I loved that by trying something new, I actually played into my ongoing search for foods that are just different enough without even trying. I also took an hour outside of the kitchen this week and figured out how we'd be able to close for the 4th of July, give all the bakers a day and a half off, and still fulfill most of our orders. It got me thinking about how we might be able to take a day off every quarter or so. I also got a bike, and the weather's been nice, and being able to spend some time exploring Denver has felt significant, both to have some rest and for the inspiration that comes from going outside, especially in a new way. I'm sorry I was late to this episode, though. The last 2 weeks, we've also had two people get sick and one go out of town, and that meant I was working nearly every day in the bakery in addition to trying to keep up with my manager-owner responsibilities. This all comes at a time when, unfortunately, the podcast has felt like more of a chore than an exciting hobby, and I'm sorry to have been absent recently because of it. That is, I've said before that this podcast is first of all for myself, to use a weekly writing, recording exercise as a process to think critically about the work I'm doing and what it means and where it should go next. I don't make money off of it, I don't check the number of listeners, and I like it that way. That, in its current version anyway, it's a place to think and not a place of business. Over the last few weeks, I've told you about the different aspects of Rebel Bread and realized that I've been doing too much. And as I sit down to write each week, I haven't found the space to think and instead felt this chore to get some words on the page just to update you on what's going on. At the same time, I'm glad I went through the exercise of bringing back the podcast to talk about the current state of the business because it did help me sort out the work that we're doing, and it's helped me come to this decision. In light of everything I just told you, I'm going to take a break. I've already started spending the last couple weeks, when I got overwhelmed and didn't publish an episode, I spent some of that time in starting to ask myself what I really want. What do I want here? I often describe the experience of being an entrepreneur as having the freedom and being in control to take your projects wherever you want them to go. The sky can be the limit. And, all at the same time, if you don't take that upon yourself, no one else is going to do it, because you are, after all, the one in charge. You're also your own limiting factor. That's great when you know where you're going. At the moment, though, I need to figure out where we're going again so I can be excited to put in the work to get us there and not just feel like I'm spinning my wheels at another job, albeit the one I created. Here's the plan for now. I'm grateful to my friend Drew for pointing out that I've already come across some good advice for myself in the last episode. That just because we can or want to do certain things, doesn't mean we should do everything right now. The right now is the freeing part to me, because it says I can take on everything if I want in due time. Right now, my job is to focus on the things we can do best in the current version of Rebel Bread. So I've made a plan to streamline retail, to stop messing with the espresso machine, and clean up the front counters and make it so any of our bakers, or anyone for that matter, can step in to sell bread because the system will make more sense. I'd like to do the same thing with our market operations. A detailed packing list, schedule, truck loading diagram would all make the market run smoothly without me there. And if I can get those two things off my plate, then that leaves me just wholesale and classes. I know, just wholesale and classes, but that's more energy dedicated to working with our accounts, coffee shops and restaurants that we don't want to order bread, and classes. This week, I'm interviewing bakers that applied to join our fall cohort of bread school instructors, and I'm so excited to bring new people, stories, and recipes into our kitchen as we continue to grow this community baking school. This feeling of being stuck caught me off guard, and I realized that it might be because, nearly a year in now, we've accomplished much of the work we set out to do. Sell bread across Denver, teach baking, start to become a community presence, cater unique food events, work with our friends, and in making all that happen, I never considered what would come next. I thought what came next would be easier to spot, more naturally defined, like things will change when we move into a new space. Everything will be bigger there. Things will change when we get featured in some publication and then there's a line out the door for our pastries every day. We'll hire more bakers then. Things will change when we get the espresso machine fixed and become a coffee shop. We'll get a barista then, and that will solve all of the other problems. But the reality is, nothing that drastic has happened. Instead, change has been happening gradually all around us. So it's time I meet change where it wants to meet us and help steer what comes next. So thank you for following the journey thus far, supporting me along the way. If you want to stay in touch, the best ways to keep up with us are to sign up for the bakery email newsletter on our website and or to follow Rebel Bread Denver on Instagram. There's still much to come over the next few months as I take back control of our growth, and I'll be back here when we're on to the next chapter and there's again a story to tell. Have a happy summer, go break bread with friends, and be well. Goodbye. This song, once again, was Thriller by Jesse Villa.